Okay, we are still early, so don't worry. There's a few more minutes to go before 8:10. So those who are supposed to help out in the puja offering, you can get ready. Then at exactly 8:10, we can start lighting the candle, the joystick. Then we get ready for puja. Can get ready to light the incense and the candle, then we can get ready for puja. Who is supposed to light the candle today? Anybody who hasn't light, can come forward. Hey, come, yes, I do, come. Come. Oh. Wait for her fruits. Oh, you have your pen. You don't have. Thank you. Okay, can we get 2 persons to come in line? Huh? Who hasn't done it before? Huh? Come.
Kelly, where are you?
Kelly, yeah, come.
Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, come. Yeah, we still have. Where is Kelly? Get Kelly to come in light. Light the candle, and the incense. Yeah. So that we can start the puja. Okay, so we are now ready for the puja offering. Let us stand. Offer the incense first. The incense first. On them I together with the tree. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This, okay. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 If you all feel that it's too cramped, you can face each other. You can come out. One of you can come out and stand the other. Okay, like this boy. Like this boy. Standing in front. Some of the girls there. You can stand opposite each other. Turn around. You just turn around. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. You all can continue. Yeah, come. Then Facebook side. Facebook side. Facebook side. Jin, come. Stand there. Never mind. Stand here. Don't worry. Facing each other. You receive. The sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Bring it in front. Sada, pass it round. Put it there. One more. There's one more. There's one more. You can put it. Shift this one in a bit. Put that there. No. Ah, okay. Okay, thank you so much. You all can be seated. So let us pay homage to the Buddha. Then after that, we will start our puja. Buddha puja me. Dhamma puja me. Sangham pujami. Okay, we can start our chanting, puja chanting now. Turn the page 4. Those who can't find a seat can come in front. There are 2 more seats here. Okay. Turn to page 4. We will start with the Vandana, then Tisaranana. Vandana means we chant the salutation to the Buddha. For the benefit of those who are new, you have to read the English translation at the side. Here, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. This is in Pali. The English translation is, we pay respect and homage to the fully enlightened one. The meaning is homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. And we repeat this homage 3 times. Then Tisarana is taking refuge with the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. So when we chant Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, you must understand. The meaning is, we determine through the understanding and the faith that the Buddha is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue, and he is worthy of many, many things. So because of that, we decide to commit our life to the Buddha. So we go to the Buddha for refuge because we really, really seek the teaching that can bring forth the condition for enlightenment, that can bring about great transformation to one's life. Then likewise, the other 2 gems, the Dhamma and the Sangha, only within them you can find the teaching. There is no other refuge safe. So we take refuge 3 for every gem. Then we renew our precept so that we constantly remind ourselves of the danger of violating the nature's law of karma. When we keep the precept, when we renew this precept, we undertake the training rule not to violate them. This is to establish understanding and faith so that you take care of your karma, so that you will never be heedless anymore, so that in future all of your life will be taken care of. When you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. That's the nature's law. And if you really want to determine to take care of karma, you must keep your precept. You must train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful. That's why the puja are very important aspect of the cultivation. Through the puja, you develop the spiritual faculty, and they can help you overcome the hindrance. So this is why we have to develop understanding. Then we will chant all the various type of offering. The English translation, you have to go back and read so that you understand the purpose and significance of all this offering. Then we invoke the aspiration through the understanding of what these offerings are, and it will pave the way for you to actually arise the causes and conditions to improve yourself, so that whatever you develop through the cultivation can come back and support you in a very, very powerful way, so that you can actually, through this sincere aspiration, develop all the appropriate requisite for cultivation to progress along the path of Dhamma. And this is very important. So now we will start. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, ปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาทินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิโมสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยมัจฉาปมาทัฏฐานะรัมมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิวิวัชชันตปูชาปฏิปักปูชากัณณสารปฏิเตนะดิตเตนะตมะดังเสนะดิโลกาดิปังสัมบุตังปูจายามิธัมโมโนดังกันดาสัมบารยุตเตนะโดเปนะหังสุกังหินะปูจายะปูจานิยังทังปูชาบาจานามุตตมังปันนกันดากุโนเพทังเอตังกสุมสันตทินปูชายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาระสารโรเหปูเจมิปุตังกสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนามเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายะติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยทัตถายัตติวินาสภาวังอาวีดาเสตุโนบันเทปานิยังปริคปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุโมตมังเคตันดุเปช18 we were to the aspiration we were chant the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering significance of offering of light may this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind.Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits and whatever eatable offerings.May these offerings of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering,May our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the closing puja. Huh? We will chant the Thai style. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang avivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhamman namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you all can be seated. Huh? Then we can start our meditation. Yeah, at the back also you can sit here, so you can sit. Huh? Yeah. So very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Hmm. So tonight, yeah, anybody who is completely new, first time here, a few. Huh? Okay, I will give you some instruction. Huh? What we do here is, the first session we normally train our mind to develop. Huh? Yeah. Then you can move forward. No need to wait. Just move forward. One we can at least accommodate in front. Okay, tonight you have to be a bit patient because I think tonight we had a record number again for the first time, 50 or 40 something. So you need to adjust yourself a bit. So when you develop the training of your mind, it's very simple. For those who already know how to do it, they will understand and they will straight away go into it. But for those who are new, I will give you instruction so that you can learn. Later on, I will try to get you that book, the 12 September 2013. There is a transcript book that describes a typical Thursday class meditation session where all the instructions were given very clearly so that you know how to develop this meditation. The purpose of that book is to save us time so that we don't have to every time repeat the whole process. So anyway, for those who already know how to meditate, you can start. Then we will off the line. For those who are new, you just listen attentively. Relax body and mind. Then maintain silence within your mind. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Can we off the light at the back? Okay. Those who already know how to meditate, you go ahead. Those who need to train their mind, you also go ahead to train. Those who already have trained, you straight away can proceed and do your meditation. Then for those who are new, maybe I will give you some simple instruction. For most people who are new, if you have not done any of this mental training or meditation before, then you need to develop a skillful means to actually train this mind that has been heedless for so long. The Buddha said the reason why the mind is heedless is because he has a lot of mental hindrance, mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So what we will do is, we will develop some skillful means, which we call mind sweeping method, combined with loving kindness or metta, to help you calm yourself down. This mind sweeping method, where you just develop the training of your mind to feel, so that you don't think, then you relax into every stage within your body that you feel. Then after that, you develop inner well-being by radiating love and metta. Through this process, you will decondition your heedless thinking. And when your heedless thinking become less and less, your mind settle down and become more and more calm and more peaceful. And then this mind can be trained, can be developed into a meditative mind. So that is the purpose. And after the mind sweeping method, combined with metta, when your mind is really ready, then we will try to develop a form of meditation that we call anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, to stabilize that mind that has really been trained, so that it's constantly aware of your breathing. If you have meditated before, if you got any other object of meditation that you are familiar with, you can also use them. In this particular session, there is no restriction on the method and technique. The method and technique are just skillful means to train the mind. They are not the meditation, so you can use any method and any technique to anchor the mind and to train it. Then after that, when it is already trained and stabilized, then you silence everything and develop the understanding of what is going on within your own form and mind. And that is what meditation is all about. So now I will start by giving you the instruction to do the mind sweeping method, combined metta. Make sure you have a stable posture. Check your backbone, make sure it's straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then you can either close your eye or open your eye, up to you. You'll find it easier to meditate by closing your eye, then you just close your eye. Then you maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel, don't think, feel. You can detect any tension, any tightness or any stress within. You just silently and soothingly relax into it and allow it to be peaceful. Relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention down. You sweep the mind down to your eye muscle. Again, you feel if you can detect any tightness, any stress within. Then you just silently relax them all. Feel it soothingly relax. Then you feel your facial muscle. You sweep it down. Each and every strand of your facial muscle, feel. Develop the same training. Relax every part. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax them all. Then after that, you can actually combine with loving kindness or metta. This will allow your mind to develop inner well-being apart from inner peace. So you visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can really smile, there is joy, there is happiness within your heart. Then the muscle within your facial relax more easily. This is a skillful means to help you relax better. So visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile, just smile. Then you radiate love. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you must feel it with your entire being. Feel the body and mind having this well-being and happiness within. And you can repeat it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May the mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then you can radiate this same love and metta to your loved one. May your loved ones, could be your parents, your brothers and sisters, somebody close to you, or your good friend, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate from your heart that well-being and happiness to them. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this love and metta to all beings within this vicinity. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya and all Kayanamitas, fellow cultivator, practitioner and meditator, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harms and danger. May they too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this love and metta to all beings. May all beings within the entire of Subhangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, planet, solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and the entire universe. May all beings within the entire existence to be well and happy, well and happy. May their mind states to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger too. And may they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. You just relax and silence everything. Then we will now train your mind to stabilize this peaceful mind or tranquil mind or silent mind that you have developed, you have to stabilize it. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So you feel your breathing. Just silence your mind in front of your nostril and feel your breathing. This is to train your mind to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. The Buddha call it anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is the training of the mind to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. This is a very useful technique that can help you to stabilize your mind, to maintain mindfulness throughout. So you need to have patience. Every time the mind wanders off, which is expected, you just patiently bring it back. Don't get angry over it or unhappy over it. Even when thoughts arise, you just silent and come back to the awareness of the breathing. Just feel. The moment you detect it, then breath and mind move as one. Breathing in, aware. Then breathing out, aware. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. If you are patient and now you continue to train, your mind will settle down very fast. And within 10 or 15 minutes at the most, it will become peaceful and calm. When anapanasati develop, mindfulness develop. When mindfulness develop, you have got no thought. The mind that is in sati has the spiritual faculty of sati. Then with the faith, sadha, virya, and sati, the first three spiritual faculty will prepare your mind to enter meditation. That's why you need to do this training. Then after that, once the mind settle down, sati or mindfulness develop, a calm state of mind will arise. They call it piti. Piti is a meditative calmness, meditative rapture or joy. It's a type of meditative calm, lead to meditative joy. So the first time when you experience it, you will be very, very happy. You will feel very good and you will like to meditate. Then you continue to relax into it and allow it to be, allow the anapanasati to continue to stabilize. Then as you relax, this piti will become more and more refined, more and more stable, until finally it will transform into sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. It can lead to a type of special bliss within the mind. The mind becomes very blissful. So piti leading to sukha. Sukha is the blissfulness of mind. Very intense bliss. This is a state where you need to continue to relax into it. Then finally, the breath, as it becomes more and more calm, you will develop a long breath which has very slow breathing, but the breath is very long. Breathing in, breathing out, the breath is very long. In this state, when there is sati and mindfulness, you will become very calm and very peaceful. The continuous state of mindfulness will make you very calm and very peaceful. So continue to train this mind until piti and sukha also become more and more stable. Then if you continue to relax into it, piti leading to sukha will transform again. Then it becomes pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, or the meditative mind. During this time, everything like slow down. The mind like become very still, silent, completely, no thought, no movement, no activity. When you reach this state, you just relax and continue to silence everything. Don't try to do anything. Then you can stay at the breathing. You stay at the breathing. The subtle breathing will come back to you after some time. Then you find it natural to drop to the mind base or the heart base. Then you just silently move your attention there. Then try to silence your mind. Then you can detect any vibration or any movement or even your heartbeat. Then you just silence your mind and stay there. Be with it. Just relax and be with it. Then let the mind settle down. Initially, you can detect your heartbeat. It will be like pounding and very gross. But it's okay. So do not panic. You just relax into it and silent and stay there. Then as you become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, more and more silent, you will come to understand that every vibration within your own form and mind can actually slow down and become very subtle and very still. Then your mind has actually developed another stage of mindfulness. You have developed a very much more refined type of mindfulness that can allow you to detect your own heartbeat and all vibration within your body and mind. This is the meditative mind. This is the mind that can understand a lot of things. Then you just silence everything and develop the understanding of how you function as a human being, how your mind arises and passes away. Then you will start to see all the Dhamma that the Buddha talked about in the teaching. You can see clearly the dependent origination, the dwelling. Then you can also see the five mental hindrances initially when they arise. Then the spiritual faculty as they develop. Then the four noble truths, the three evil roots, seven factors of enlightenment, and all the other related Dhammas. Then you can cultivate the four foundations too. So all these are possible only when your mind has developed sati, mindfulness, which is very stable. Okay, I will allow you to continue to train your mind. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Okay. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those open now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. These are the mind states. After you train, you need to develop it until it's very stable. Then you have to use it to live your daily life and make full use of it to cultivate daily mindfulness in daily life. The real meditation is when your mind is already trained, ever mindful. Use that trained state of ever mindfulness to develop wisdom. That is the apamada that the Buddha talked about, heedfulness. For the mind to be heedful, it has to be ever mindful to develop the wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Means constantly meditative or cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. Okay, now we will invoke the invitation for the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation, then after that we will continue our Dhamma session. I will chant the English. Invocation to the devas. In the universe in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay, yeah.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sattha Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akkhamato คาลิโกเอหิปัสสโกโอปนายโกปัจจตังเวทิตาปุวิโนหิทิสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆปุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆญาญาจัตตาริปุริสโยกานิอัตตปุริสปุคะลาเอสภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดาคิเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกัสสติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Give me respect, mindful to love, but not.บัดดังพระเจ้ามีธรรมังพระเจ้ามีสังฆังพระเจ้ามีโอเค you can all be seated So normally second session we will have our meditation reporting followed by question and answer. But before we start that, because today I think quite a number of you are new, I just go through some of the essential Dhamma that you see on the whiteboard. For us to develop the meditation, it's okay. It's undone. Never mind. It's okay. Okay. These are the first two essential dhammas. For those who have been here, they will know. When you are new, you have to listen attentively. Yeah? Just now I mentioned the five mental hindrances that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful.These are the first category of essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about. He said human beings' problem is they have a lot of this mental hindrance. That's the reason why their mind is not peaceful. That's the reason why they cannot meditate. These five mental hindrances, they are termed sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt.And these are actually common sense when you analyze your mind. But for those who understand the teaching, their meanings are very deep. Why are they called mental hindrance? Because whenever you have this mind state, the Buddha said, any of these five, it will hinders you from becoming peaceful.It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. And the most powerful thing that it does to you is to make you sleepy, lack of confidence, which is doubt, sloth and torpor is sleepiness, lethargic mind. Then restlessness is the most powerful. When you go through life, when you live life,when you confront certain realities of life and existence, The Buddha described very clearly in the first Noble Truth. He said there are 8 conditions in life that make living being miserable. If you live long enough, no matter who you are, how famous and how wealthy and powerful you are, you need to confront them. And without wisdom, all your wealth will not help you. So because of that, when you confront problems which are related to the 8 realities of birth, old age, sickness and death, the first 4 realities, then separation from loved ones and prized possession. Separation can occur during death or relationship failure like divorce, forced separation and many other things. Then sometimes due to nature's disaster, accident, earthquake, tsunami, or any of this calamity, building collapse, flood, and all those things, it can also cause separation. So life can be very, very traumatic when these things happen. Then the 6th one is when you cannot get what you want. And the 7th one is when you are with people whom you don't like. Life can actually be very difficult. Then the last one is meditative. That one the Buddha said, when you deludedly believe that this so-called living being or human being is what you are, and when you attach to it, it will cause you a lot of suffering. So the Buddha reclassified this human being into what he called the five aggregates of form and mind. They got 2 aspects. First aspect as a human being, you have a physical form, then you have a mind trapped inside. That's why I say you are the form and the mind. And the mind has 4 more aggregates. The mind can feel, can perceive, can think, can arise consciousness, then it can arise mental states. So you combine these 2, it becomes the 5 aggregates. Then every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think, it also has the 5 mental hindrance. But this is the mental 5 aggregates of form and mind, where the form is not your physical body or physical form. It is the external form that you come to experience through your perception. You bring in the external form into your mind through perception, and the 4 aggregates of mind together with the mental form become the 5 mental aggregates of form and mind. So the Buddha said, when you deludedly grasp and cling, you will become miserable, afflicted. You will have a lot of suffering. And when you suffer, you have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of sorrow and lamentation. And because of that, your mind become very restless. In modern language, we call it the problems of life. When you have health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, career-related problem, or any other life situation or problem, like police case, you have certain things troubling you, your children's problem, your whatever, in-laws problem, and many other life-related issues. So a lot of this can lead to the mind being restless. It becomes restless because it has got fear, worry, anxiety. It has problem. So this state haunt the living being. So whenever you are in those states, the Buddha said, you cannot be peaceful. You cannot have the mind that is at peace with itself. That's why you cannot enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And most of the time, you are restless. You are heedless, and you have a lot of problems. So the Buddha said, to overcome this, you don't have to control, suppress, or fight it. You only need to note and understand that these are the things that give you problem. So you need to cultivate the opposite fire, the Buddha said. Then this hindrance will go on its own, it will disappear. The opposite five are what the Buddha called the five spiritual faculty, or in Pali he called pancha indriyas. You have to develop the first spiritual faculty of faith, or in Pali it's called sada. Faith here means confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Just like in the normal society, if you want to do well in life, your mind must have certain, what they call, mental states that can help you to become successful in life. So the first thing that you must have is confidence in yourself, Karana. The moment you are confident in yourself, they say half the battle is won. So in the spiritual field, it's the same. When you have faith in such a great being like the Buddha, who is the fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, but fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. And you can say the Buddha at that time when he was around, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. So to have such a great teacher, you should have a lot of gratitude and respect towards him, and your faith towards him will be very different. So this faith of confidence in the Buddha and his teaching through understanding clearly who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, how it can bring about enlightenment and free your mind and explain to you all of life, the secret of life, so that you know how to live, so that you know how to have the good life, so that you don't have to suffer anymore. So this is how faith can be developed. Yeah, that's why we have our puja, we develop the faith, sada, virya, then we pay respect, mindfully. The first three spiritual faculty, we develop them to understanding who the Buddha is. That's why we chant the nine great virtue. Then we chant all the refuge. Then we recite the homage. Then we develop the sada, virya, and sati. Virya is after you have understood who the Buddha is, when your faith and confidence is very strong, then it will drive you to cultivate. Now, this is a spiritual zeal or energy that will drive you to cultivate. So when you have virya, you will not be sleepy. When you have the faith, you will not have any doubt. That's why you overcome them. Then the next thing you cultivate is the or mindfulness. Now, this one, you have to understand what this word is. To be mindful is to be aware. Awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought. That's why when you pay respect mindfully, it means body and mind go down as one. In harmony, no thought. Means the mind and the body is one. You are just aware, no thought. Yeah. And because of the faith, your mind become very calm and very composed. That's why it will start to train the mind to be peaceful. Then sada virya leading to sati, when you are mindful, when your mind is full of awareness without thought, then there is no sensual desire, ill will. Sensual desire, ill will are your reaction of mind. When you think of something, when you perceive something, and through your memory, your views and opinion, you discriminate them. That's why you had like and dislike, which is also the evil roots of greed and hatred. So sensual desire, ill will, if you continue to do that until it becomes habitual, means throughout the day when you live your life, every time you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think of something, you always arise the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And these are both hindrances. Because your mind is not in equanimity, it's not at peace. It's always dwelling on these two duality. Yeah. So when you have sensual desire, you will be attached to the good experience or the what they call the happiness that you receive from such sense experience. Like giving rise to pleasure. That's like pleasant experience. Then ill will is what you don't like. You try to push away. You develop the negative side of craving. And this is the one that gives rise to a lot of anger, unhappiness, stress within you. This one makes you heedless, indulge. The first one, sensual desire, make you indulgent. This one, torment you. Second one, make you miserable, unhappy. Your like and dislike are the two duality that oscillate within. So if throughout the day your mind do that, what happens is it becomes habitual. So the habitual tendency make you create hindrance throughout the day. That's why you find it very difficult to be peaceful. Then when you want to meditate, you realize all these thoughts will arise. The hindrance will create thinking, make you heedless. Whereas you have the spiritual faculty, when you are mindful, there is no thought, you don't think, there is no sensual desire, no ill will. And because of that, you are very peaceful. That's why the moment you hit mindfulness, you become peaceful. Pity will arise, sukha will arise, and all the various beautiful mind state will arise, the meditative mind will arise. So after you develop sati, that's why when we meditate just now, you have to train your mind to have this quality, sati, or mindfulness, or awareness, without thought. That's why you use the mind-sweeping method to decondition all your heedless thinking. When you feel and relax, you don't think. That's why your mind will settle down. Then you will have less and less of this hindrance. More and more of spiritual faculty. Then when you continue to relax into it, sati will stabilize. Then it will become samadhi. Samadhi is the state of mind that is collected and unwavering, without concentration, without energy field. It's not a condition. There is a relaxed state of mind that is aware. But there is a stability there because of the mind that has been trained to have this stability of samadhi. Samadhi is only required initially to allow the mind through the meditative state to see things clearly. That's why the Buddha said when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. You can see the truth and the reality. That's why they say direct seeing, jnana dasana, knowledge and vision of the reality. Jnana is knowledge or vision, or what they call wisdom, jnana, or understanding. Dasana is the reality, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Means you see things as they are. So when your mind don't have thought, it is aware and mindful, and it has the stability of samadhi, is collected and unwavering. Means even if you live life in the midst of going about your daily life, because you have sati and samadhi, everything you see, your mind is collected, unwavering, asana. That's why it has clarity, and it will not be conditioned into delusion. Then all your seeing is direct seeing. You see things as they are, without distortion, without the conditioning from your views and opinion, from your emotion, from your fear. Means you don't act out of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. You act with understanding through the wisdom developed from this direct seeing. So spiritual faculty can transform the living being. When sati samadhi develops until very stable, this is the meditative mind that can understand a lot of things. It will develop what they call wisdom, which is the last spiritual faculty. And when this five is there, all the five hindrance just cease by itself. That's why you will always be in a meditative state. And the Buddha says such a being is heedful, is constantly aware, constantly meditative. And such a mind is destined for enlightenment. And the Buddha called that heedfulness. In Pali it's called apamada. So that's why the last advice of the Buddha before he passed away, he told the monk, strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadita. So you only need to train your mind to be ever mindful to develop the meditative understanding of his teaching. Then you are heedful. Yeah. So this is the first important understanding. Why you do puja, why you meditate and train your mind to have sadha, virya, sati, then stabilize it to have samadhi. Then go into daily life to develop the wisdom. Then cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Then after that, you need to understand these three phases of Dhamma. In order for you to cultivate the teaching, the Buddha said you have to go through these three phases. Phase one is like what you all have been doing. Huh? You read up, you listen to the Dhamma sharing, then you try to develop understanding of what this teaching is all about. So nowadays we are more fortunate because in the ancient day there is no recording, there is no writing. You can only listen. So last time, the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, where the learning of the doctrine, you have to only listen. If you cannot listen, you will never learn. Nowadays, you can do it through the what they call textbook. You can read up your own. You can do research in the internet. You can also listen to all the recordings. Now the internet, Google and all those things can allow you to have a lot of access to a lot of what they call teaching. But you have to screen them, because initially, if you don't have any proper guide or teacher, you may not know what constitutes the true teaching, the true Dhamma. So that part you need to actually find out for yourself, investigate into it. And that's why we have Kayanamitaship. Kayanamitaship is Dhamma friends. Friends of Dhamma who walk the path of Dhamma together. Who share understanding. Who counsel, motivate, and encourage each other to walk the path of Dhamma. It is a form of very sincere type of sharing. And everybody who are true Kayanamitas, they will benefit a lot from all this synergy. So Pariyatti is learning of the teaching. Spend more time in phase one until you understand clearly what the teaching is. Then phase two, Patipatti, is you put this teaching that you have understood into cultivation in your daily life. And this is the most important. If you don't develop this, you will not have the Dhamma understanding. You will not progress. It's like theory. You know, but you cannot live it. You cannot become like what the Buddha mentioned under the teaching, a noble one, an enlightened one. You may have the knowledge of what an enlightened one is, but you cannot live the way the enlightened one live. Then you are still far away from being the enlightened one. So Patipatti is the most important. If you don't actually put in all the hard work under this phase, then you cannot reach the third phase of Dhamma. The third phase of Dhamma is called Pativeda. After you have cultivated it, after you have developed the understanding of it, then you can live it. And this is the fruition of your hard work. You can live the life of a noble one or the enlightened one. And this is the most meaningful part of your life. This is the happiest moment of your life. Of course, while you do this too, you are already very different. That's why those who live by the Dhamma, they are already very different. Their parami are already very different. Then you spend time on spiritual understanding. And this is what can transform you character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. Then life after life, when you have to come or you choose to come, you will have this understanding that will give you all the wisdom that you need to understand life and to live life. So these three phases of Dhamma are very vital if you want to understand the Buddha's teaching, especially phase one and phase two. Yeah. So this one, now that you have understood, the next thing we go to is vipassana. Vipassana is a Pali word. That's why we call this meditation, Thursday class meditation, vipassana meditation. So vipassana is a Pali word. You can break it into two, vi and passana. Passana is to insight into. Vi is the three characteristics of nature. According to the Buddha, the whole of the universe, if you look at the universe as it is, each and everything that arises within this universe, which we call the phenomenal world, it can either be physical phenomena, mental phenomena, or nature's phenomena. They all exhibit these three universal characteristics of nature. The Buddha said they are all impermanent, condition arising. If you attach, cling, and hold deludedly, trying to own them, possess them, and give meaning to them, suffering will arise. That is the second characteristics of nature. Then the third characteristic is, because it is impermanent, it leads to suffering. It is not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can call, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. That's why he said it is non-self, not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to. And because they are impermanent, it leads to suffering. It is actually empty. But living beings cannot see the empty nature of existence. They cannot see the unreality of this form and mind. They cannot understand what this world is all about. That's why through ignorance and delusion, they grasp and they cling. That's why they fail to understand the characteristics of anatta, or non-self, leading to empty nature. Yeah. So this meditation is very important, because the moment you can train your mind to have that spiritual quality, then you can insight into phenomena. This word, passana, you can insight into phenomena, their universal characteristic. The moment you understand their universal characteristic, you are not deluded by them anymore. Means you are not gullible anymore. The mind, the true mind, understand clearly what this five aggregate or form of mind is all about, what this human being is all about, what this phenomenal world is all about. All of phenomena, may be nature's phenomena, physical or mental phenomena, they exhibit the same characteristic. And the moment you have this understanding, your spiritual faculty will become unshakable. That's why we make aspiration to arise the causes and conditions to our offering of puja, to cultivate this spiritual faculty until they become unshakable. The moment you have this ability, you will be at least a sotapan, the first stage of sainthood. Yeah. Then this meditation is very unique, because the moment you can insight into phenomena and understand the three universal characteristics, the non-delusion will actually severe the five hindrances. Because through wisdom, all the five hindrances will be severed. And wisdom is very powerful. Yeah. Then the rest is for meditative understanding. Here I put the four important support for meditation. This one is for mindfulness-based meditation. No more thought-based. Mindfulness-based meditation. Thought-based meditation, they don't have all this. Maybe they also tell you to relax. But most people don't understand this. They teach you how to note, concentrate, and develop the special meditation to have the special experience. But the real understanding is you need to relax into every state, every mind state that arises. Relaxation is the most important. If you cannot relax your body and mind, you cannot meditate. ability to relax means the mind is not having hindrance, not having problem. If you have the hindrance, you cannot relax. Yeah. If you are restless, sleepy, you ask them to relax and say, no way. Then if they have a lot of this habitual tendency, that's why you ask them to meditate, a lot of thought come out. Yeah. And they cannot stop it. The heedless thinking, habitual tendency keep on coming out. Because thought is respond to memory. And you accumulate all the experience of life, your memory. You hold on to all the good and bad experience, especially the bad scars of memory, the thing that you have problem with, all of your whatever life-related issue and problem, you actually have the hidden fear behind. You accumulate them, like your phobia, your nightmare, and all those things. So all this is the result of not having the ability to meditate, to train your mind to reverse all these hindrances. The moment you can do it, when sati is stabilized, then you can develop mindfulness-based meditation. Then the fourth support, the four important support is to relax. Then after that, maintain awareness, sati. Then stabilize it until it's 24 hours. Then finally, you don't meditate. You trust the nature, no thought involved. Just allow the nature to do. When you are just silent and just aware and relaxed, that nature will actually move and you will develop a lot of transformation within you and you will understand a lot of things. When that nature meditates, you must have the silent mind. Without the silent mind, it cannot meditate. So this is very unique. And this will only come about when you have already trained your mind to be ever mindful, to do the awareness-based meditation, no more thought-based, no more labeling, no more noting, no more verbalization, just silent, relax, and just aware. Then during this time, the best posture is lie down, straight, flat, facing the ceiling. Just relax like that. Or sit on a chair in a relaxed manner also can. Whatever posture that can make you comfortable, relaxed and stable. Okay, after that is this word apamada. Just now I explained already. Apamada, the English equivalent translation is heedfulness. The Buddha say heedfulness is very important because without heedfulness you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. Means no spiritual life. Spiritually, you are like a dead person. No chance for enlightenment. So what is heedfulness? Heedfulness got two parts. First, you have to train your mind to be ever mindful. That is the first criteria for heedfulness. So the first criteria is to train your mind to be ever mindful. Then after that, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why under Dhammapada verse 23, you will see the constantly meditative and ever mindful, they will definitely realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. So, to train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is very important. And this constitutes apamada. Apamada is also called heedfulness. And this is most important. That's why everywhere in the teaching, the Buddha reminded the monk, never be heedless. Dhammapada verse 21 say very clearly, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So you have to really wake up to that Dhammapada verse 21. Otherwise, you will become very miserable. So this is about what we need to understand. Then here is the other part. When you meditate, don't try to do anything. Just silence your mind and be with it, at peace with it, whatever that arises. Don't go and judge, react, complain, and labor. Just be with it, silent, and at peace with it. Then the mind will return to its original state of relaxed inner awareness, which is the meditative state. And this is actually the third way to free your mind. There are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, and this is the third way. Don't do anything, just silent, relax, and just aware. Be with it, at peace with it. Then whatever mental state or mind state, may be fear, anger, worry, or anxiety, it will cease to be. And then you come to understand, it is not by fighting it that it disappears. And you also finally trace the origination factor. Before you have fear, before you have anger, you were peaceful. Then how did fear come? How did anger come? How did all those negative mental states that lead to the hindrance of restlessness and all those things come? It's because of your wrong view, your sense experience. At the moment of sense experience, you don't have wisdom. You don't have yoniso manasikara. That's why you react to what you see through your conditioning, through your fear. You act out of fear. You act out of delusion. You act out of selfishness, emotional negativity. That's why the evil roots are there, the three evil roots. So three evil roots are the other category of Dhamma that you need to understand. Otherwise, you cannot keep your precept. To keep your precepts, you have to be ever mindful of your mind's mental intention. Mental intention that has the three evil roots, they will make you very evil, and it will cause you to break your precept and violate your precept. You can go and check. All those people who violate the five precepts, they have very negative mental states. They have the three evil roots. Then this part is about the form and mind. This one you go back and read the green book. There is this green book, Who Are You, What Are You? You read out and you understand. Then these are the feeling, perception, mental activity, and consciousness, the five aggregates. So as a human being, you have a physical body, then you have a conscious mind trapped inside. You combine these two, the Buddha said, you are the form and the mind. That's why five aggregates of form and mind. So all this, it will cover almost everything that you need to know. Then this human being is karmically conditioned, form and mind for you to use, to live life, to experience life. So do not deludedly cling or hold on to it. Okay, so this is the part I want to cover. Then after that, we can go back to our Q&A. Oh, we need to buy another red color marker. The red one is no more. Then this part is space between thought. When there is space between thought, then only you can experience the peaceful mind. So this is the first thought. Let's say this is the first thought. Then this is the second thought. Then in between there is this space between thought. So the mind is peaceful, quiet, still and tranquil. If you don't have this space, you cannot experience the peaceful mind, the quiet mind, the silent mind, the still mind, the meditative state that you experience in meditation. It's only when your mind is trained and when it is no more restless, the hindrance there, when it's no more restless. Okay. So Suyang, you've taken it away, what? The hindrance. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. It's only when there is no more hindrance, especially restlessness, love and torpor, doubt, sexual desire, you will. The mind is peaceful, aware, then only you can have this space between thought, when there is no more thinking. And you can meditate and train your mind until this space becomes very, very, what they call, white, or very, very clear. Yeah, and most of our Kayamita, those who meditate sincere, they can do it. They can have very, very spacious space. Yeah. There is hardly any thought, even throughout the day in their daily life. There is a lot of space within thought. They hardly think anymore. Not like before. Yeah. So you can imagine how it's like when you able to have this type of training of the mind and develop this ability to have more and more of this quietness, this stillness, this tranquility and this peace within. Compared to your normal daily life where you are so heedless, so full of thought, so full of mental states, thinking, anxiety, fear, worry and all this, whatever negativity or mind states. And the Buddha called this heedless living. That's why when you can see clearly between the big difference between that two state of mind, one is the trained meditative state that is heedful, constantly meditative, ever mindful, whereas the other one is completely heedless, think a lot, has a lot of hindrance, hardly have any moment of peace, no spiritual faculty. Such a mind, you know, one goes where and one goes where. Very clear. No need to like ask the Buddha to confirm. You yourself can confirm where you go. Because if you don't have this spiritual faculty, you don't even know how to die. When it comes to death, you have a lot of fear. Fear, worry, anxiety, you become restless. Die also no peace. So how? Huh? Do you want to die that way? You don't want to die that way, better learn. Better train your mind, better develop the faith, sadha and virya. Okay, with that, maybe I open it up. Eh? Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question, now is the time. Why everybody so quiet? Make full use of this window to ask. Good. Susan, pass the mic to her father. Susan at the back, behind Lily.
Brother Teo?
Yes.
The lying meditation?
Yeah, lying down. Okay.
Doing it before we actually sleep.
Yes.
Is that advisable?
Okay. So that is your first question. Then have you tried it? Have you tried it? Just push it out. Then how are you coping? Are you able to, or you just fall asleep very fast? Yeah. You didn't push all the way out. Push all the way out.
There are times many times I have to say that
you doze off.
I just fall
It's okay. Perfectly normal.
Yeah.
To doze off.
Right.
Because when you have not developed the stability of it, because we are so conditioned, understand not? So conditioned means what? When late at night we want to rest, then we go and sleep. The moment you go and sleep, you just sleep. But if you want to meditate, then it's different. Because meditation, like I say, we have to do with understanding. You don't go into the lying down meditation when you can't even train your mind to be peaceful, understand? When you don't have the ability to be silent. Because to do lying down meditation need a lot of skill, need a lot of understanding, and need a very stable mindfulness. Otherwise you will fall asleep. A lot of them told me cannot practice, you just fall asleep. So what I normally advise people to do is not until you have developed the ability to be mindful throughout the day, most of the time, you are not ready to do lying down. Unless you have from your past, you are gifted, then you lie down, you know what to do. There are a few Kayanamitta. Last time they like to sit, they just believe in lying down because they are not used to it. But after they train their mind, develop the ability to meditate, then they come to realize actually sitting is not so appropriate. Then initially they did not try to lie down because they are so not used to it. And a lot of them sleep straight away. But later on, because of the faith, then because their sati and their mindfulness already developed, then they connect, then they start to try it. The moment they try it, they realize it's so different, so beautiful. Oh. So initially what you should do is, the moment you wake up, the moment you wake up in the early morning, first thing that comes to mind, aware. Straight away into your posture. Then aware of all the activity moment. You have to develop this daily mindfulness first until you are very, very stable. And then, no matter how throughout the day, whether you just relax and silent, you will not sleep on. You will rest and meditate on. And that is the best way to meditate and to recuperate from a tired day. During the early days when I was still working, if I want to recuperate and rest, very fast on, I go and meditate. Even 5-10 minutes, I will be like very different, fully charged. No matter how tired my body is. Then later on, as the body age, you need longer time to recover and recuperate. But the most important thing is your mind state. Your mind state, if you already have developed the ability to be mindful and aware, then lying down meditation or sitting meditation in a relaxed posture means not cross-legged. Even when I drive, I can just park my car somewhere in the rest and service area, then I just silent and relax and just meditate. Initially, I only need 10-15 minutes. Then I am very fresh and I can drive again. And this is how you can develop the ability to meditate. Then in the meeting later on also, I can just sit and cross my leg on the chair. Then in the plane, in the bus, in the train, you can do them because you are alone. Then at home, when you have more control over what you do and your time, that is how you train your mind to develop the daily mindfulness. Then as you develop until your daily mindfulness is so stable, so clear, then you realize you hardly think. And the mind that hardly think and most of the time aware can do sleeping meditation very easily. Then the moment you lie down, you feel so relaxed and silent. Then if you still need anapanasati, you stay there. But sooner or later, anapanasati will drop to the heart, where your breathing will connect you to your heart. Then when you can feel the heart, when you have that stability of mindfulness, you don't need a stethoscope. You're just silent and just aware. The awareness just falls into this area of the heart. It will detect by itself. the heartbeat. Initially, like I say, it's like pounding. Many of them had the retreat, they already reported, and many Kayamita too, who do continuously on their own at home, they actually went beyond those states. They can now be very stable in the lying down meditation. Just like even Ing Bi experienced at the retreat, she was lying down at one corner of the meditation hall, extreme left where I sat. He used to sit in front of me. Then suddenly I say, where is Ing Bi? She's from that corner, just raise her left hand like that. Raise her hand like that. Then I saw. I say, they're not sleeping or meditating. So later on when we asked her to share, you know what she told us? She said, Brother Theo, when I was lying there meditation, silent, aware, completely no thought, the awareness and the clarity was so clear, it was clearer than she sat in front of me, listening. See? That is the real silent mind. There's hardly any thought. And even Brother Song and many Kayamita, they can do it now. And they can be aware, daily mindfulness throughout the day at the heart area. It's not difficult. It's not impossible. It's not something that only I can do and nobody else can do. If like that, then that meditation serves no purpose, understand? Actually, you realize or not one thing. Before the Buddha passed away, Parinibbana, did he sit cross-legged and die? What posture was it when the Buddha passed away? Lying down posture. Why? Yeah. They say lion, but they don't understand. That is the best posture. Because when he understood finally, actually no need to sit like that. Without any posture, you can meditate. And that is the best posture. You know why? The heart is slightly towards your left, actually. That's why he lie on the right like that. This heart is not pressed. You lie this way, your heart is pressed. Understand? Down. Then you find it, your awareness is not so clear. But when you lie this direction, that's why, for me, facing the ceiling is the best, your face. That is the best posture. But if you already skillful, then you can turn. But when you turn, try to rest on your right hand side. So that this part is free, then the consciousness can be fully aware. Otherwise, when it's the other way around, it's partially, actually, it's not a free heart, understand? So it's like pressed down. Then that one is not a general spacious awareness. That one you have to go down to specific phenomenal awareness to feel them. Depend on what you want to do with that particular meditation. So, come back to your question. It is okay whether before you sleep you do that, or when you wake up, any of this, it will work. Provided you have already trained your mind until your daily mindfulness is very stable, then you can be aware naturally. Means the mind has already reached a state of paucity. Means the mind don't actually need to dwell anywhere. The mind can be stable at any point, any place. Actually, the mind that is already in sati is the meditative mind. And that mind don't need any dwelling. It is just aware. Anywhere, any place, any time. Wherever you locate it, it will have sensitivity, it become very clear. That's why you can locate at the heart, and it can feel the vibration of the heart, then it can stay there. That's not, then it can follow and stay with it. Then you do what I say there, be with it, at peace with it. Don't use the thought, just silent and allow the nature to meditate. Then it will understand everything. That silent mind will understand everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to even go and connect the Dhamma. Is this anicchang, dukkang, anatta? Is this what the Buddha say? Then don't get excited. Oh, I also can feel the heartbeat. feeling happy is very simple. Doctor also can put stethoscope, you can feel. But why you want to feel the stethoscope? You feel your nature, you feel your awareness, and that is the real meditative mind. So you relax inside. But don't be too eager to go here, because you still have a lot of hindrance. You cannot. You find it very difficult. You don't come here. You do your what they call mind sweeping method, then radiate love and metta, stabilize it, then go into daily mindfulness, then go into anapanasati or any of your object of meditation. Then the most important one is bowing. Don't underestimate bowing. Bowing is very important. Just bow with understanding. Then sometimes chanting with the faith also very important. Like the Mahayana, Amitabha. So if you are familiar with this style of chanting, where you can develop your faith, then you do. Otherwise, you can use the Thai tradition, Buddha, 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 asana. Then, of course, some they use Samarahang, Samarahang, to invoke the meaning of the word Arahan, the right Arahanship and all things. Then, Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho. You can use all these skillful means to develop the faith and the sati. Then, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Then you can also, like the Buddha say, do Buddha Nusati, then do Dhamma Nusati, then Sangha Nusati, means contemplate on the nine great virtue of the Buddha, like what we chant just now, Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho. Then you chant with understanding. But if it's too long, you just take out some of them. That's why they say, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Then Sama Buddhaya, Namo Buddhaya, Dhamma Buddhaya, Sangha Buddhaya. So all these are skillful means to develop the training. It's up to you. Then some they use dynamic method. Well, all this is to anchor your mind to develop the stability of mindfulness. Then after when it's stabilized, use it to cultivate daily mindfulness, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, the four foundation of mindfulness is there. But if you just do the four foundation of mindfulness, it's not enough. Because the other seven path factor you didn't do, honestly. I left it 12 minutes. Ingvi asked me to share something, I forgot. Never mind, I can go through it quickly. Does I answer your question? You got any more? Can, it's okay, you can continue. Then
carry
I will,
on from that question.
Yeah, yeah, can. Then I will answer in beyond later.
There are also moments where when I do the lying meditation, the mind, it did not go into sleep immediately.
Ah, very good.
It was very aware.
Okay.
For quite a long moment.
What do you do during those moments? What do you do?
I just watch.
Yeah, how you develop it? How you develop the watching? What did you use?
The posture.
Means you maintain attention.
Yes, maintain attention.
Means your attention is on your body. Then after that, what else you do?
And also watching mind.
Okay.
Arising of.
Okay.
Mind.
Is your mind quiet?
Yes.
If you use the thought to watch, it's not the silent mind. That is the thought trying to watch another mind state. So you have to be careful. That's why lying down meditation, the best is still if you can silent and anchor it to the heart. Stay there. Then whatever that arises, that silent mind will know. When you just stay there and don't try to know anything, just silent aware. Then, of course, initially it's the heartbeat. Then you realize this one, slow down and become very, very still. Then suddenly, like, completely no movement. Then the whole of the mind process, like, totally no thought. Like, sudden shift of consciousness, so still. Very, very quiet, like middle of the night, suddenly the vibration on the wall. Just like that day, we off the fan. Now you experience it. Well, this one not so good. This one don't have the switch. That day, that one, I immediately off. Still, quiet. See? The mind that think a lot is like the fan inside there, non-stop. Then if you want to sleep, you have to switch off. Means go into the unconscious, then you sleep. Then this noise still there actually, but you don't hear anymore. That's the analogy. But when you do lying down meditation, there is no noise. The brain is quiet. That's why when you need to watch the thought, means actually this fellow is not quiet. That's why you need to watch the thought. But when this fellow is quiet, the brain here, no need to watch anything, it's just silent, it's just aware. Then whatever it wants to be conscious of, then this one will start. That's why most of the time there is space. There is just quietness, silence still. Then initially when you anchor it to the heartbeat or heart rate, then it's just aware of that thing, no word on. Just the awareness and the thing, no word on. That's why I say, be with it and at peace with it. Don't try to do anything, don't even verbalize, just silent inside there. Don't try to know anything. Then the quiet mind will become very stable, very quiet. Then it's fully aware. Then after that, very funny. If you want to be aware of any part within your body, you just move your attention there. Very clear on every part, the vibration. Even your brain, then even your pillow and against your head. Wherever, you go and find out. A lot of things happen there. A lot of vibration. Then you can go into it very quiet. Then you can understand everything. Then you can even go inside your brain inside. Which part move and activate? Especially when you eat something. Then which is the part of the brain that respond to that food, that taste part and all those things, and how it actually through the brain activate into thought for you to know the taste and all those things. That's why your mind become very sensitive in the positive meaning, not the negative meaning. You know what is negative in here? During the early day, I only learned this word. The teacher said, she is a very sensitive lady. I only know the negative word, sensitive. So every time when people say, your mind is very sensitive, I thought it's that sensitive. It's not like that. The meditative mind that is very sensitive means it is very alert. It can detect many things. It can be aware of many things. It's not sensitive in a negative sense. So that understanding will come when you train your mind properly, when you have developed the appropriate meditation, when your mind can really silent and become like that. That's why there is no other meditation that can take you into that silent mind state so quickly, so fast, and so stable. And throughout the day, you can be aware, fully aware, and without thought on. You can do the traditional thought-based, I tell you. You can try. You can be in a retreat for umpteen months or so. You come out maybe one day, 2 days, you maintain the slow movement, then the mindfulness and hustle. But the moment you return to your daily life activity, you realize you go back to square one. You can't even maintain for a moment of silent awareness. Space between thought is like very difficult to come by. And they always tell me, the moment they go back to daily life, they become heedless again. Most of the time they are completely unaware of what is going on. you can go and check when you are going about doing your things in the daily life, especially when you are working or when you are driving. You check what are you doing most of the time. You are too busy thinking, planning, worrying about life. You never leave. You hardly aware. Hardly any moment of awareness at all. Human beings think a lot. As my teacher that time, Monk Ajayantra, the first time I met him, I remember he kept on smiling and he tell the whole crowd. He said, "Your problem is you think too much." He said, "You think a lot." And nobody understand him. But later on when I developed the daily mindfulness, then I understood what he meant. Living being actually heedless, endless thinking. That's why the heedless are as if dead. You hardly got any space between thought. So you got no space between thought. What type of life is it? I cannot imagine. Actually, it's very, 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 very difficult. You suffer so much. But you are so used to it. To you, that is normal. No? That is your normal way of living life. No? Where you haven't experienced the peace, the inner peace, the tranquility, the stillness of mind, and this special mind state. Because you never experienced that, you never knew that such mind state exists, that the mind can be trained and all like that. Actually, no need to train. You train the mundane mind, the thinking mind. The moment the thinking mind stops, that nature is already there. No need to train, actually. Awareness is already there. You only need to have the spiritual faculty so that the hindrance no more. Then you will shine for. Then that thing is so beautiful. So wonderful. That's why Hui Ning always say the six patria. Actually, that nature is very beautiful. It was already complete, pure, beautiful, perfect. No need to do anything. But living being cannot differentiate between the two minds. That's why they cling and grasp onto the conditioned arising mind, thinking mind, mundane mind. Then they get entangled and lost. And they try to make that thinking mind, the pure mind. How can you do that? The thinking mind must stop. The monkey mind must stop. And then the true mind is already there. It's just like the energy, the sunlight. The sunlight is ever shining in there. Clear not? Sometimes you cannot see the sun. Why? Because it's cloudy. The cloud, the whole thing. Then you say, no sunlight. Actually, the sunlight is still there, but clouded. So your human mind, you know, is clouded with one another. With your thought, with your emotion, with your fear, worry, anxiety, that condition you to cling, hold, have fear, worry, anxiety. And all this come about because of delusion. Delusion, the condition, the evil root, which is your defilement. That's why these are the asavaks. And they are the one that cloud your mind. And this is your mundane mind, thinking mind, all the emotion, all the mental states. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, your accumulated scars of memory, and you live like that. That's why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. Really, that is crazy living. If you understand all this, you will never become like that anymore. You will never be heedless anymore. Because it's crazy, it's really madness, I tell you, to live that way. But like I say, human being, because you are so used to that way of living, to you it's very normal. No? Everybody also live like that. So to you it's very normal. But when you already train your mind and develop the meditative understanding, then your mind has already transformed. Then you look back. Wow, last time really heedless. How come like that? Wow, luckily, because of the Buddha. Because of the Dhamma, that's why it can liberate. And it's so different. Life take a turn. Life becomes so meaningful. As opposed to the past. Where you don't even understand what is life. Understand? When you don't understand what is life, how to live. You don't even know who live. who is living your life and you don't even know who you are and what you are? Understand that? Means the thought is living your life and thought is egoic, full of ego, selfishness, emotional negativity and fear, and you allow such a entity to live your life. That's why you must be mad today. You have a true mind, true nature connected to this form and mind so beautiful you don't know how to connect and use. You go and use the egoic one that creates a monster or you or someone you don't know. So that's why when you understand, the whole picture is so clear. But delusion is like that. When you are clouded, you are clouded. You cannot see. You go and tell a deluded people, you say, hey, life is not like that. He say, you something wrong. To him, everything is so real. Oh, you go and tell him, impermanent, non-self, suffering. He say, you crazy. He say, life is so good. But when he get into trouble, then he remember what you say. Or then he come and look for you. Then he see you still so peaceful. I think there must be something in what he meant. So a lot of people, when they never hit the roadblock or crisis in life, they never understand the spiritual understanding. They never look for it. They don't believe. But the moment they hit, then they have fear, worry, anxiety. Then they turn. Then they look for spiritual. By then, maybe too late. So, while you have the condition, make haste and develop the understanding as soon as possible. So, Susan, because you are new to this field of lying down meditation, you don't worry. You stabilize your daily mindfulness first. Then when you lie down, you just silence everything and relax and just aware and feel around your heart area. You should be able to do that now. Just feel. Don't try to know anything. Just allow that mindfulness. That mindfulness is not a thought, trying to know, trying to know, trying to observe. Forget about it. It's just silent. The moment it's silent, it detects. If you still cannot detect your own heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area, means it is still not ready to do the lying down meditation. Then you just relax and just sleep. Never mind. Then you continue your daily mindfulness while at home. I taught you how to do it. When you wake up, first thing is aware. Then what happened? What are the ones that stir you and move you? Then fully aware how you come out, how you sit up, how you stand and how you walk. Aware, just aware. No need to note and know anything. Just attention on your body and just mind. Anchor it to your body so that it don't think ahead, it don't run ahead. Human beings' problem is the thought perforate actually run far, far away. Then as it arises, a thought, mental intention also arises. Then it conditions you to do things. Then as you do, you think some more. That's why you are never with the moment. You're hardly aware. Then when you brush your teeth, just brush your teeth. Don't go and think. Don't spread your mind all over. That is a training. Slow down the mind, not your action. Do everything at the same pace. But be with the moment. Just aware, nothing. Don't try to know anything. Don't even try to recall what relative will say. You just do. Do until when the thing comes, then all of a sudden you will come to realize what I say. Then you will understand what I say. That's all you have to do until your mind become that state. Then you will understand everything that I try to share with you. That's why many Kayamita, before that they say they cannot understand. Read my book for 6 times, like Brother Song. He cannot understand. Then the moment he connect and develop the sati, that very moment he can understand everything. Then even the Diamond Sutta, Heart Sutta, last time he cannot understand. The moment he see, he understand. Why? Because that comes from the silent mind. The mind that has this awareness, this spiritual faculty. That's why before you have that, you try to understand, it's very difficult. So be patient. Just do. Like swimming. You do until you know how to swim. You will know what swimming is because you don't have to hold on to the float anymore. But as long as you hold on to the float, you don't know the real swimming. Because it's assisted by the float. Oh, 10:32 already. We should end. So in V1, what is it? You pass the mic.
I want to know.
You say you can what?
I have the vibration.
Vibration of what?
My body moving, I'm aware.
Then?
I can feel my heart.
Then?
And also I can feel there's another heart below my chest.
There is no heart below your chest.
What I mean is vibration.
The vibration. The vibration is a normal happening within your form. So you can feel them doesn't mean that you are special. You can feel them is the mind has become more sensitive. That's it. It's a good sign. But don't be complacent and don't think that this is progress. It has actually developed the ability to be sensitive, and that is the beginning of meditation. Then what must you do after that?
So where? All the my body.
You have to recall your focus. Your focus is what? You are here to train your mind to be mindful. Now you already mindful. What must you do the next thing? Then what is this word? What is that word? Ever mindful. You only hit mindfulness, more aware, more sensitive, but you have to stabilize it, ever mindful. That's why go back to your focus. Means what? Initially you need to anchor it back somewhere, anchor it back. And then now it's very clear because you can have this ability or sensitivity. If you go back to your breathing or whatever object of meditation, it will become very clear. Then you don't try to know. Don't get excited. Just silent and continue to do until it's ever mindful. Then after that, what you do? After you stabilize it, carry it into the daily life, anasana. That is the beginning of real meditation. That's why all this is just still very, very elementary, anasana. But it's a good sign that your mind is more sensitive now. You can feel the vibration. It means your brain is more quiet. That's why I look at your face now. It's so much better than when you come a few months ago. That time, you a lot of thinking up there. Now you got a lot more clarity. That's why you can be more sensitive as well. When you are more aware, it means you are less restless, less thinking, less thought. So you have more understanding in the sense that a lot of things you don't hold anymore. A lot of things in life doesn't disturb you anymore. Last time I hear something only kanchong or anything already. Or something went wrong, or one phone call come, why excited already. And the best was that lady in the Cameron Highland retreat, remember? Alicia. 3 years ago was still in depression for 50 years. Last time she said depression, she very kanchong, small thing, she cannot take it on. A lot of fear, a lot of panic and all things. Then very, very excitable and don't know what to do. And like actually can make her very depressed and very unhappy. Then recently, after the meditation come, after the transformation, he just listened to my recording. Last time he used to chase Sui An for the recording. And he listened until she understood. When she went through depression, everything that I talk about suffering, she said, relative, no need to describe one. Everything already very clear. We went through suffer like mad for so many years. Then after she understand, then when I use a few of these words, I say, it's only your thought, Asana. How come it has such power to make you so miserable? Who gave it such power? Then she suddenly laughed. It was only a thought. How can I become so stupid and so miserable over a thought? Then he said, your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. And I said, no. Then he said, to be happy or to be miserable is entirely my choice. Oh, then he start to develop the straightening of her view and understand all this thing. Then all of a sudden he say, now, no matter what thing hit, he said, last time I hit crazy, he panic already. Like everything is gone already. He cannot stay like even sober. Mean he cannot sit still already. A lot of fear, a lot of panic already. Then he said, this time very funny, you know. He said, like nothing happened, no. Then her heart here opened out, he said. Now everything he listened from here, see from here. Then no more excitable like last time, no. No more fear, no more panic, no more nothing, no. Then everything like so clear, no. There's so much joy, no. She just becomes so peaceful and so happy. And hardly any thought now, is it, throughout the day. From a person who is so depressed and so sick, no. Within 3 years, no. Can turn around. And she seldom sit on, I tell you. She meditate by reflecting, contemplating, and resting like that. Of course, she sits for a while, but not long. Then she go retreat also, same. She lie down a lot. And the mind very clear. Then, how she came out of all this is because when she understood, when she straightened her view, the thoughts slow down. Understand not? Then the fear or no more. Like, slowly through understanding it, just somehow it just disappear. Then she can just silent. Then when she's silent, because she told me there was one trip to China, I think, don't know, 10 over days. He said for the whole 10 over days, he was listening to the Dhamma talk. Then he was chasing Sui Han for the downloading. And during those 10 over days, she completely transformed, he said. There was so much joy. You know, every time she heard that clear Dhamma, there was so much joy. But she keep on straightening her view and keep on developing the understanding to change the way she think, the way she look at things, the way she understand things, and the way she live her life. And so fast, you know, she became so different. That's why Dhamma is not like what you think, wow, impossible, cannot. There is no such thing. If you have the faith, which she has the faith after she came to the class. The first Tuesday class, she came in with so much fear. I can feel, just like a lot of you, when you all come, your facial expression, you know, you have a lot of this hindrance inside there, and you are not happy inside. But over the months and years, you start to become beautiful. Yeah. Then you realize your mind state so different. And a lot of them, they know. Unknowingly, you actually transform. Because all this puja and this 2 hour or one of sharing, the amount of merits, the amount of blessings, and the amount of understanding that went in, only your nature will know. If you are serious, you have the faith and the understanding, the sincerity and the perseverance, you will progress very fast, I tell you. And here, very different. All the places where I share and teach, the Tuesday class, the Sunday class, the Thursday class, even the Friday talk, is very different. So you must have faith, be sincere, then persevere. Just do. Okay, Kwan? Now understand. Don't be excited by all this. It's a good sign that you have developed more mindfulness because you got less thought now. Understand? Your face is brighter now. Which is the truth, really. You can feel the sun will know.
The other thing is I feel when I was meditating, I feel lighter.
I know. You definitely a lot lighter. But last time you argue a lot. You always think you're right. You use your thought last time, I remember. And you keep on wanting to report to me last night. But still, I also can feel, like you say, well, then I remember 2 or 3 occasions when I say, you haven't really understood what I say. Or then only, I think you later on change was because when your son came, that one give you a lot of understanding and confidence. So whatever it is, she has changed for the better. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You remember last time I used to tell you, you were trying to teach Kelly. Last time. I said, no, she will understand faster than you. I said, because she has a past. So the time comes, she will understand the Dhamma faster. But now when you tone down like that with your sincerity and understanding, you will also move. So ego will block you, understand? When you think you know, that is a very dangerous thing. Krishnamurti said the most dangerous person in this world is what? Huh? Who is it? The one who say, I know. You cannot teach him or her. He really know how to teach yourself. When you say you know, you block yourself. Because wisdom is unending. You should say, I understand. But you don't go and copy my word, no, brother Teo, say understand. Oh, now you put out your hand. I understand, brother Teo. Oh, I don't want to use the word no. But your understand and know is the same, so no difference. When you argue, you say, I understand, brother Teo. You understand, you don't put out your hand and argue already. So you understand means you will describe and share on your own. Yeah, brother Teo, I also had this experience. It's beautiful. Then you use your own word on us. And from your own word, when the real thing come out, you will know it. Because truth can be expressed by anybody from any direction. The enlightened one will know. It's the truth. Because point towards the truth. The truth is the truth, understand? But the different finger pointing depend on what language you use, understand? So if an art student, you will describe it through the artistic training. Then technical people, like we all engineers, we will describe it through the technical way. But no matter how you approach, you point towards the same truth. Then whatever word you use is not important, because truth is beyond word. But if you have seen it and realized it, you will know how to describe it, even using words that is not in the textbook, using words that is not spoken by other people before. That's why when I come and teach and share, I use different words. But there are certain common language that you can understand. When I use them, you can relate, then you have more confidence. In the past, I need to use that. Otherwise, you look at me, lay person, nothing, no banner, no title. Who are you to tell me all this sort of thing? But now, different. People have faith, because many people have progressed, and many people have understood the depth of the teaching, and from the transcript, everything you read through, you will understand. So all this has already given you enough faith and understanding. So actually now I don't need to use all those words. If I need, I use more and more of my own words. That's why I define mindfulness for you all, never described in a book before. The two types of mindfulness. Spacious awareness without center, and the specific phenomenal awareness, never described by anybody before. But this is what you can come to experience and understand as your mind transforms. Are you? We better stop. We will do the sharing of merit and transfer of merit. And sorry for taking up too much of your time. Some of you need to go. You can go. So, next week. Envy on next week. Remind me. Otherwise, Q&A, not enough time. Okay? She wants to know about the seven stages of purification, Satta Visuddhi, which is the Visuddhi Magga one. So this one is linked up to the Sutta. There's one Sutta that talk about the relay one, the seven chariot relay. Because these seven stages of purification, they are all interconnected. That's what the Sutta is trying to tell you. I will explain, and it's a very good sutta. Then you understand how the cultivation is to be done. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, we can end. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika Punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Let this merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Then invoking the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season, may there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena ami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of this merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha Damien. Satipatthana Sutta 1. Yeah, they push forward this topic, I don't know why. Maybe before the cruise they want to understand it.